Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. A couple reminders for you before we jump into today's program. If you didn't have a chance to check it out last night, it'll air again tonight at 6:30. It's the Southern Indiana High School Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. We'll do it every week. You can catch it Thursday or Friday leading into our play-by-play coverage. And it's just a preview of the big games in the area. This week we take a look at Floyd Central and Castle, which is where I'll be tonight. On the radio, we'll have that game. Todd Sturgeon joined the tip-off show. Also, Chris Moore from Jeff, he was with us as well. We talked about a big opening win for the Red Devils down in Ohio, and, of course, a big game coming up at home on Saturday against Lawrence North. And Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, as his team gets ready to play New Washington on Saturday, he joined the program as well. Matt will air at 6:30 tonight, leading into our high school coverage. It's also available as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast if you want to check it out there. But a fun show, and thanks to Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling for sponsoring it. We're able to get some coaches, and we're going to have some players on that program as well moving forward as we preview the big games in Clark and Floyd County each Thursday and Friday, and I hope you can check that out tonight. Also, I mentioned that Floyd Central Castle, it's our high school game of the week tonight. I'll be there with Lee Kelly. Tip-off a little later. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off. We'll be on the air about 7:30 after the tip-off show wraps up. So if you can't make it out to the Knobs tonight, you can join us for the play-by-play story of the Highlanders game as they look to improve to 4-0 on this young season. Let's take a look at the show lineup for the program today, which is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll get ready for IU Wisconsin on Saturday. A little more about the Big Ten Conference. And I tell you, the conference has been getting, as it should, getting some good reviews and some good coverage across the country. After a really good outing in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. It's a series that I think is wonderful every year, especially this year. The matchups were just great, all very interesting for the most part. But normally it's a challenge that the ACC Conference historically has won, but the Big Ten, very good this year, and some interesting storylines in the Big Ten Conference that we'll talk about in our headlines coming up here in just a few moments. Also, contract extension for Tom Allen, IU football coach. Everybody thought it was something that was coming, that was just a matter of time. Maybe it would happen at some point between the bowl game announcement and the actual bowl game itself, or maybe even at the end of the season. But it's done now, and Indiana announced that earlier this morning. So I think big stuff for IU football, major steps forward. I know there's always the ability when you've got your wins against teams with a combined win total as low as what Indiana does. There's always opportunities for criticism and things like that. But let's be honest, Tom Allen has led this team to some successes in recruiting, to some successes on the field with the win total, and, of course, with another bowl appearance, and no reason to not lock him up for the foreseeable future. And his name popped up for some other jobs. I don't know if he ever was a legitimate contender or not for Florida State, but his name was somewhat associated with it. His name popped up at least for one other job, if I remember correctly. So he was beginning to become somebody that, you know, could get an interview at some point, and maybe that could still happen. But a new contract, I think it's a 7-year agreement, makes something like that much more unlikely to happen, and that he and his future will be at Indiana. So we'll talk about that also. And Romeo Langford, I don't know if we can play this for you a little bit later, but Romeo Langford, they've got him on video singing some Christmas carols at a looks like a function for children in Boston, and the whole team was up there. Some of them were up there singing, but he takes the cake, man. He kind of took the lead on it. We'll tell you about that all coming up in our headline segment later in the program. We're going to switch things up just for today. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he joins me in segment number two. With Kyle, we'll talk high school basketball now that the season is back. We'll talk some recruiting things as well with Kyle of the Indianapolis Star in segment two. Then later in the show, Jared Morris of Assembly calls with me, and that's where we'll really dig into IU basketball more. We'll talk a little bit about the Big Ten Conference more, and then, of course, get ready for Indiana and Wisconsin, a 4-4 Wisconsin team. Indiana played well earlier this week. Can they keep the momentum going and play well in their first road game of the season? And I was thinking about that. It's come up a couple times on the show, but it's going to be December 7th tomorrow, and college basketball started basically in pretty early November. What was it, the first full week on that Tuesday when it really got underway? I know exhibition game would have been a little earlier than that. But it's December 7th tomorrow when Indiana travels to the Kohl Center in Wisconsin. And Indiana has not played outside of the friendly confines of Assembly Hall. That includes the exhibition game, obviously. I guess the only time they have had somewhat of a game with a little bit of travel involved was Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the closed exhibition game against Marquette that took place before the Gannon exhibition game. So really no travel, no out of Assembly Hall games to speak of, traditional games at least for this Indiana team. So that's going to be interesting to see how they respond on a road environment. And just kind of odd that the first road game for this Indiana team is Wisconsin. That's something a few years ago that just wouldn't have been possible. But now that Indiana this November had the scheduling at home that they did, and now that the Big Ten Conference has added those earlier games as all the teams go to a 20-game schedule, it allows something like that to happen. So crazy to think Indiana's first road game of the season from start to finish is at Wisconsin on Saturday, December 7th. But 4-4 Wisconsin team, I think the opportunity is definitely there for Indiana to get a victory. I know it's been a very unfriendly place to play, but if Indiana plays like they did earlier this week against Florida State, they beat Wisconsin, and it might even be more of a margin than what the score was against Florida State. However, if we get a different Devontae Green and a more turnover-prone team and a team that doesn't knock their free throws down as they have basically most of the year, it'll be a narrow victory or perhaps even a loss for Indiana. So there's a couple ways it can go. And, of course, you got to give credit to the Kohl Center historically being a very tough place to play. And I'm sure that we'll keep that in mind when the result comes in. But going to be an interesting game for Indiana for a number of different reasons. It's not just the opening Big Ten game. It's not just the first road game. It's not just at the Kohl Center, a tough place to play. But Indiana's been playing well, and we'll see if that continues against Wisconsin on Saturday. We'll cover all those things and more in our show today, and that is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. While making out your Christmas list, don't forget your dedicated employees and business associates you would like to show appreciation for. A Honey Baked Ham gift card or ham or turkey breast make a very nice gifting idea. Call the store at 812-941-9426. Again, 812-941-9426. Or stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany at 3602 Northgate Court. Again, 3602 Northgate Court. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Love for you to submit a question or a comment. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me a question over. Also, you can follow the page, The Hoosier Report, with Matt Dennison on Facebook. You can like us there, follow the shows and all the podcasts and things like that. You could also send us a message as a question or comment, and perhaps it'll get read on the program today. Let's dive into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And this is interesting, I think, in the Big Ten Conference. Obviously, the Big Ten ACC Challenge went very well for the Big Ten, to say the least. And just some kind of interesting things. I was reading a Sports Illustrated article that kind of recapped the Big Ten's strengths coming out of that event. You know, everybody had Michigan State number one in the country or a Final Four pick, and the pick to win the Big Ten Conference. It was basically unanimous by all of the preseason publications out there. Then after Michigan State, everybody's picks seemed to really vary. There weren't really necessarily wasn't a hard number two and a hard number three that everybody was going with. But Michigan State, three losses basically 1 month into the season. Now, they've had a very, very tough schedule, but I don't know that anyone thought Michigan State would be 5-3 at this point of the season. No surprise they lost to Duke. I think Duke is good, not great. As we've discussed, I'm not sure there are right now great teams in college basketball the way the rosters are set this year and the way things have played out. But no surprise that Michigan State lost to Duke, even at home. I don't have a problem with that. Still think Michigan State's pretty good and can be a contender. I just couldn't believe the way that Duke got them earlier this week in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And then, of course, you got to look at Ohio State. I think they are ranked number six right now. They were supposed to be okay, good, a team to watch maybe in the Big Ten Conference, and they've been a real team to watch, really good this year. A 74-49 absolute just handling of North Carolina down in Chapel Hill as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And again, I'm not surprised Ohio State beat Nebraska. I'm really not even that surprised they beat them on the road, but the margin they beat North Carolina on their home court, I think it's just amazing. And then looking at the Big Ten, the other kind of unexpected surprise is Michigan. I know their loss to Louisville maybe set them back just a bit, but they've played pretty good basketball so far this month. And then Maryland, and I've not had a chance to see Maryland, but multiple people that I trust that have said, wow, watch out. They're 9-0 off to their best start since 1998-99. And, of course, they had a big win over Notre Dame, 72-51, another one that had some real margin to it. Then, of course, you got to mention when you talk about the Big Ten, I know Purdue's had some losses, but the way they handled Virginia on their home court at Mackey, pretty impressive. So it looks to me like the Big Ten Conference is going to be better than what everybody thought, and it also looks to me like the Big Ten Conference is going to be deeper than everybody thought. I think it's fair to add Indiana to the conversation right now based on how they went undefeated in the month of November, and then the way they beat Florida State, the way they played in that game, I think puts them in conversation for an impressive potential in the Big Ten Conference. And of course, this weekend will tell us more about that. But definitely some notes with the Big Ten Conference. It's going to be a good one. Last year, the Big Ten, obviously a great year, placing eight teams in the NCAA tournament. And it looks like a month and a week or so into the season, or really just about a month into the season as we get into this weekend, it looks like it's a conference that could very well put seven or eight, or could it even be nine, in the NCAA tournament this year. But no question, things are off to a good start generally for the Big Ten Conference, although there have been some surprises within the conference this year as well. Big news this morning from an IU football perspective. No, we don't know yet where the Hoosiers are going to go for the bowl game. We should find that out Sunday for sure. But the news coming out that Tom Allen and the IU Athletics have agreed to a 7-year contract from December 1st of 2019 through November 30th of 2026, a $3,900,000 in average annual compensation is what the contract is for. $27,300,000 in total contract value. Guarantee 100% of the compensation for the first 3 years and 50% total compensation for the last 4 years. There are bowl and championship bonuses and buyout provisions consistent with those for other Big Ten head football coaches. A couple other bullet points from this new contract with Coach Allen: $500,000 added to total assistant coach / strength and conditioning / operations salary pool, which again is important for Indiana because it allows them to take some more steps forward when it comes to those categories, specifically assistant coaches and in the strength and conditioning, that field as well, athletic performance field for IU football. And then a year is added back to the contract term for each year IU qualifies for a bowl game. In no event could the contract ever exceed the original seven-year term. So a good contract for Tom Allen, and I think a lot of people glad to see that he's locked into IU football for the foreseeable future with some successes this year. And I think, and I've said this as the season has went on and as the wins racked up and as Indiana became bowl eligible, that I think the best part about all this is the excitement for next year. Because Indiana returns so many key players from the roster this season, and they've got obviously some recruiting successes that will join that as well. I think that Indiana football should be expected to do this same or more next year, and so Tom Allen being there obviously is a big part of that as well. A couple other notes here in our headlines segment. High school basketball tonight. I mentioned that WXVW will have the Castle at Floyd Central game. It's an 8 o'clock tip. Lee Kelly and I will be at the game for that one, so if you can't make it, you can join us. Other area games on this Friday night as the season really gets rolling. Borden is at Lanesville. That's a good 1A matchup, sectional opponents potentially in the future. Paoli, they've got a good Division I prospect. They play at Henryville tonight. Providence looking for win number two under Coach Ryan Miller. They are at Austin tonight. Rock Creek looking for their first win. They've had a tough schedule to open the season, and they play at 2-0 New Washington tonight. And, of course, that could be a potential sectional matchup as well. Scottsburg is at Charlestown. Charlestown still looking for its first win. Silver Creek is absolutely rolling to start the year. And the Dragons at 2-0, they are at Clarksville tonight. I tell you what, also coming up for Silver Creek is an interesting game on December 13th. There's some good games next weekend as well. New Albany, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, North Harrison with Lou LaFay at North Harrison. It'll be interesting to see how he defends and how he plays Silver Creek. But a good slate of games tonight. And, of course, a full slate again next weekend, including some big rivalry games as well in high school basketball. I mentioned Romeo Langford. I don't think we have it queued up to play for you, but basically it's a Boston Celtics youth event. It looks like one of the community events that players are required to go to. And there are a number of players there. Carson Edwards starts with the mic. And Romeo is kind of off in the background, out of the camera angle a little bit, but they start singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Romeo really gets into it. He really stole the show from Carson Edwards, and Carson held the mic for him for a lot of the song, but he really got into it, to say the least. I just retweeted the video, so if you want to see Romeo sing some Christmas carols today, you can follow me at Hoosier Hills, and you'll find that retweet. But, you know, we all think of Romeo as being pretty quiet. We all think of Romeo as being, you know, not big with reactions, positive or negative, when things happened on the court. But he definitely has a goofy side to him. I got a real chance to see that up close and personal behind the scenes at New Albany. And this is a little glimpse into maybe more real life Romeo Langford, and how funny that he can be singing some Christmas carols. Those are Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some high school hoops. We'll talk recruiting and more. And then coming up later in the hour, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on IU basketball. That's all still ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on our Friday program. Little switch today. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star here in segment two. Jared Morris coming up on IU basketball a little bit later in the hour. Kyle, want to hit some high school basketball stuff with you and then do some recruiting if we have time in our chat today. And want to start with Southport. I talked some about this with you and with Greg Doyle earlier when it was first announced that Southport would be suspended from the state tournament, that it was regarding an eligible player. And since that point, earlier this week, that decision, at least by the IHSAA, has been reversed. The school has agreed to suspend its coach starting in January through the end of the 2019-2020 season, and the IHSAA is going to lift its postseason suspension of Southport and allow them to compete in the sectional and perhaps beyond if they advance. An update on that situation? I know you've written multiple pieces and been right on top of it.
Yeah, so that was came down this week that you know, there was a change in what was going to happen with that, and probably not a, you know, I guess I was a little bit surprised originally when that decision came out to ban Southport from the tournament. Kind of heard that you know, something was coming, but didn't expect that punishment. And you know, if you ask me, I think this punishment probably more aligns with you know, the punishment or the infraction maybe than the original decision did, to you know, allow the kids to play in the tournament. And you know, honestly, the kids who had really nothing to do with the, you know, with what had happened with getting the kid in to play there. So you know, I think this, you know, the penalty of undue influence is more aligned with you know, suspension of the coach and allowing the team to go ahead and play in the tournament, and I just say, I guess, saw it that way. And the appeal, it never really got to the appeal stage. You know, there was sort of an agreement, a compromise made, and I think Southport probably felt like the IHSA, if it went to an appeal, had other information that may have made it difficult for Southport to win that appeal. So that was my takeaway from after talking to Bobby Cox about it. They felt pretty strong that, you know, if it went to an appeal, they were going to probably, you know, not overturn anything. So I think, you know, this compromise idea was maybe a better, you know, better conclusion to kind of an ugly situation.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, the high school basketball season is here. We head into, I guess you could call it, weekend number two of games. Some good early season matchups, and of course, getting into December a little bit, we've got the Forum Tip-Off Classic, which is going to be a lot of fun and showcase a lot of guys, some local players, but also some IU recruits and IU targets. Also, I've got a feeling from what I read from you and your preseason work and from the word I get from others across the state that follow our game very closely, that Lawrence Central, who is located not basically metro Indianapolis, and of course Bloomington South, maybe in 4A, are absolutely the best of the best.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I saw the saw Lawrence Central play on Monday, and you know, they're playing a team that was overmatched in Victory Prep. It's a former Lighthouse. It's a charter school. You know, so it was a mismatch. But just watching Lawrence Central, I mean, it kind of you know, just reiterated everything I already kind of thought about them to begin with. And then to see, you know, the way Deontay Davis, and actually wrote a little bit about him, not a real lengthy story, but just kind of a piece about how he's kind of fitting into the lineup now, and he's definitely filled out and looks more the part maybe than he did a year ago as a freshman. And he's really coming along. Of course, he's DeAndre Davis's younger brother. DeAndre's heading to Louisville next year. Chris Mack was actually at the game to watch both those guys play. And then you had Nigel Pack, who's going to Kansas State. Really, really good team. They've got some other pieces too. They're about eight players deep and really athletic. And I'm going to actually see him again tonight and Wednesday, because they've got Carmel tonight and then Lawrence North on Wednesday. So get a chance to see them play a couple more times here early in the season, and curious how they stack up against better competition and a totally different style of play tonight with Carmel. But going to be hard pressed to find a weakness in this group. I think maybe you know, I don't even know what it would be. Outside shooting's good. You know, they don't have a huge presence inside, I guess, but DeAndre Davis is such a good rebounder that, you know, they're not small, but they don't have a big 6'10 guy, but they're a really good team. Al Gooden, of course, does a good job. They're, you know, confident coming off a sectional last year. And you know, I was really impressed with their first, just seeing them play for the first time out, even though it was a blowout victory. And I think there's a lot. I think Lawrence North's right in that mix too. And I think Bloomington South is there. I think Jeffersonville, I know they've got a chance here to play, you know, play a good schedule early in the season, play some good teams. So I think I'd be curious to see how they stack up. But, you know, it's going to be fun to see. I'm just, you know, so excited as the season gets started now to kind of see how things start to shake out and who kind of steps to the forefront early in the season.
And in 3A, locally for us here in Southern Indiana, Silver Creek at the top of the heap, and I think an opportunity to make another good run in that class. And, of course, Trey Kaufman getting lots of attention for his recruitment in Indiana, and Purdue and many other schools jumping in on him very seriously. You talked about Coach Mack of Louisville being at a Lawrence Central game. I think Matt Painter has already been at Silver Creek for a game this year, and you can expect to see lots of just even head coaches from high major schools in attendance at some of the Dragons games to watch Trey Kaufman. They're going to be a real force. They're no longer somewhat of an unknown across the state. Kyle, I believe, obviously ranked number one, obviously with multiple college prospects that are big point performers and big talents. Silver Creek well known at this point.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they're not going to sneak up on anybody this year. I hope to get down there pretty soon and then and see them play, or you know, just to get a chance to see how they stack up now. But yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised by what they are going to accomplish this year with you know, Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby coming back. And I know they are, you know, they're replacing quite a few guys though, other than those two from their state championship team last year. But still, when you got two guys like that who are going D1 and have already played at a high level, I think their expectations are rightly pretty high for that team. So be curious to see how they stack up too. And we'll start finding out, you know, as these, you know, like you said, the event at Southport next week will tell us a lot. And really just for the most part, just kind of a good chance to get out and see a lot of basketball in one venue. That's kind of the fun part of it.
Yeah, no question. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, I think you've got a big football banquet to get to, if I'm right. So we'll let you get to that on time, and always appreciate the chance to catch up a little early today, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to basketball, Matt. Thanks.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. And don't forget, coming up in the next segment, we have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We're really going to dig into IU basketball and, of course, the upcoming game on Saturday as Indiana plays at Wisconsin. Good weekend coming up. High school basketball tonight. High school basketball on Saturday night. Indiana and Wisconsin later in the afternoon on Saturday as well. Plenty of activity this weekend. And, of course, we'll be back Monday to wrap all of it up coming out of the weekend. Stay with us. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back, Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We have the opportunity to chat with him Fridays here on the Hoosier Report. And Jared, we're talking on Friday of a good week for IU basketball and really for the Big Ten Conference with the overall performance and some of the key wins in the Big Ten ACC Challenge for Big Ten teams. Now a big test for Indiana on Saturday. Been a good week of basketball thus far.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, obviously the win over Florida State, you know, playing really the first, you know, kind of top 25 level team was nice to see. And I think, you know, you watch that, you kind of see what Indiana does through seven, you know, through seven games, and the computer rankings all looked good, you know, and Indiana handled their business. But there were still some questions, you know, about how they would play against a higher level team. And I think a lot of those questions got answered in the affirmative. You know, so that was, you know, a really good step for this Indiana team. And then just from a conference perspective, you know, after a slow start, you know, the first 7 days where it kind of looked like, hey, you know, the Big Ten's kind of taking some losses here. You know, what's this going to do, you know, to the overall strength of the conference, which we know comes in, you know, comes into play big time come March. You know, the Big Ten's really stepped it up. And, I mean, I think, you know, teams like Ohio State, you know, better than people thought, Maryland, better than people thought, same with Michigan, you know, and then even Michigan State and Purdue that both have three losses, you know, they're obviously still, you know, strong in terms of the computers. And then Penn State and Indiana doing well. So, I mean, I think the conference has done much better early in the season than people expected, and that's going to help out everybody, you know, just when it comes to, you know, bubble teams or, you know, moving up or down a seed line, that kind of thing. You know, that's where, you know, being part of a stronger conference, having more opportunities for signature wins really helps. And the Big Ten's put itself in a good position with what they've done over the last couple of weeks.
And Jared, I tell you what, speaking of stepping up, there was a little bit of mention after the win earlier this week for Indiana that, you know, it is an NCAA resume type victory. And I know it's crazy to start thinking about that stuff already, but that's just where we're at in the college game. Stepping up was Louisiana Tech. Last night, they defeated Mississippi State. So a mid-major opponent that probably didn't get many IU fans terribly excited like a Florida State or a Notre Dame or a Big Ten game coming up will. Saw that Louisiana Tech, maybe not that bad as we thought, to beat a high-major team last night. And that ultimately that helps Indiana with a victory over Louisiana Tech.
It really does. I mean, I think it's easy, you know, because Louisiana Tech isn't from a big conference, doesn't necessarily have the brand name, to have looked at that game and just kind of lumped it in with some of the other ones. But I think the more astute fans who, you know, follow the advanced analytics and, you know, saw that this was a top 100 level team, you know, whenever you're playing a team of that caliber, you know, you're not going to be able to give a C-plus effort and still beat them. You know, you may not have to play perfect, and Indiana certainly didn't play perfect that night, but that performance, you know, Indiana took care of business against a team that was capable of beating them. And, you know, so I think when you see them go on the road and beat Mississippi State, not a great team, but a good team. I think they were ranked in the mid-40s in KenPom before last night. I don't know where they are now. That just shows you, you know, the level of team that Louisiana Tech is. And so, you know, as you start looking at this stuff, you know, the more wins that Louisiana Tech gets, the more impressive that win will be. And all this stuff adds up. All this stuff matters. So, you know, as IU fans go through the season, anytime that you see Louisiana Tech pop up and get a win, it's just going to help the overall quality of that win for Indiana.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on a Friday edition of the show. Backing up to Indiana's victory early this week, there were so many good things that stood out. Obviously, Devontae Green was red hot. He had a 30-point performance to set a new career high and lead the way. But Indiana as a team and Indiana individually with players, a lot of things stood out. A couple things that caught your eye as Indiana gets into some tough games coming up, and I want to talk about Wisconsin next. Maybe a couple things that caught your eye that you think if Indiana does this, does that, continues to do this, they might be just fine in the Big Ten Conference and may very well be an NCAA tournament team this year.
I think, you know, on the positive end, obviously a lot of stuff popped out, you know, and look, when you have a guard score 30 points and make the threes that Devontae Green did, you're going to win most games like that, you know, and I think, you know, his incredible shooting performance, you know, made that game end with a wider margin than it otherwise would have. You know, if he just has an okay shooting performance, misses a couple of those threes, it's a little bit of a closer game. And that's not to take any away. He made them. But, you know, that's the impact that making shots like that can have. And that can come and go from game to game. What Indiana did that really impressed me against Florida State was some of the stuff that's repeatable. You know, I thought defensively it was as intense and connected as they've played for an extended period of time all season long. And that was really impressive. And I think they're very committed to the game plan of getting it inside, getting to the free throw line, and owning the glass. And they did that. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, as they say, that travels. You know, Devontae Green is not going to go 5 for 7 from three-point range, but we can rebound the ball every game, you know, and we can be, you know, really aggressive getting the ball inside so that we get to the free throw line. And it might not always result in a rebounding margin and a free throw rate like what we had against Florida State, but it can be consistent when that's part of your identity. And so that's what impressed me, is that, you know, as much as the hot shooting from Devontae Green contributed to the win, I think it was more an identity win, where Indiana did the things that they wanted to do, you know, kind of dictated how the game went. They took punches, they came back, they showed fight, and it was that's the stuff that really impressed me. You know, on the negative end, you know, I think Al Durham really struggled in this game. And, you know, look, his teammates picked him up. Armand played really well. Devontae played really well. And so the fact that Al never really got into the rhythm of the game, especially offensively in the second half, you know, it didn't end up costing Indiana, so it was okay. I think his play on Saturday at Wisconsin is going to be really, really important. I think it's a game that's more conducive to the style of game he likes to play. I think he's going to have opportunities to make outside shots. And I think, look, he's an upperclassman, and a lot of guys are going to be playing their first road game at Wisconsin, a place that has not been friendly to Indiana, as we know. And I think you've got to rely on your upperclassmen in this game. So, you know, his struggles didn't cost Indiana against Florida State, but I think he's going to have to really bounce back and have a bigger game than he did Tuesday for Indiana to win on Wisconsin. You know, and I believe it now. I mean, I think that's something that he's more than capable of doing. So hopefully that's something that we see this weekend.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Don't forget, now that the season is back in full swing after the IU games wrap up, we have the Assembly Call IU postgame show, which is just a tremendous way to kind of hear breakdown, to hear deep discussion of what Indiana does well, maybe doesn't do well, and, of course, what's next for the team. And speaking about what's next, Wisconsin, 4-4, and if you look at the results and you're feeling good about Indiana this week, you probably think this can be a big opening road Big Ten win for Indiana. And they may very well be able to be that, a win for IU Saturday when they play. But we all know how unfriendly the Kohl Center and playing on the road at Wisconsin has been for Indiana for a number of years now.
Yeah. Matt, I was 16 the last time Indiana won at Wisconsin. And I am a lot older than that now. So that when I went back and looked at that yesterday, and I was like, God, it has been that long. You know, I think it's really easy to look at this game on Saturday. You know, you just kind of glance at Wisconsin's record and you see some of their stats. And I was like, hey, they're 4-4. All their players are shooting poorly. Like, here we go. We're coming off the win against Florida State. Let's go get this, you know? And I think it's, look, I think it's good that we're in this position where we're all feeling confident about a game, you know, at Wisconsin, because we feel good about our team and because they are not a vintage Wisconsin team. I mean, this feels like as vulnerable a Wisconsin team as we've faced up there in a long time. But I would caution people about getting overly excited. You know, I think context is really important here. And when you look at what this Wisconsin team has done, yes, they've lost four games. All four of those games have been away from home. And a big reason why they've lost those games is, you know, they just haven't shot the ball well. Now, there are, you know, a lot of reasons that go into that, and maybe the quality of their shots aren't as good without Ethan Happ and all that stuff. But when they played Marquette, you know, they beat them by 15, 16 points and went 11 of 23 from the three-point line at home. And so, you know, at times Indiana will give up some three-point looks, and so I think it's going to be really important for Indiana to defend the three-point line well. And, you know, it's a Wisconsin team that could be due for a little bit of positive regression from a shooting perspective, because it's a lot of guys with, you know, with decent shooting track records that have been struggling. So, you know, that's certainly something to watch for. And then I think, you know, from a rebounding perspective, Indiana has really been making hay on the offensive glass. As I mentioned, you know, it's a big part of what they want their identity to be. And Wisconsin is a very good defensive rebounding team. So it's going to be strength on strength. And whichever strength wins out there, I think in what's likely to be a close game, you know, that could end up being a determining factor. So, you know, I'm excited about this game because it's rare that, you know, that we head up to Wisconsin really feeling like we've got a good chance to win. You know, the KenPom prediction, you know, has us winning by one or two, I think. But it's, you know, it's Wisconsin, and it's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, hopefully they keep shooting poorly for one more game.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, joining us. IU basketball, always the topic. What would I mean, and this is one of those obvious questions, but to go on the road and win this game, and again, it's Wisconsin at 4-4, but it's been a really tough place to play. To go up there and win, in the same week that Indiana defeated Florida State in the manner they did, played in the way that they did for really the entire game for the most part. I can't think of a more outstanding week and way to open the week of December with tough high major competition than to score a win at home over a top 25 team from the ACC and then go within your own conference and get an early win, get a road win against a team that you've struggled with many times. This could be, if Indiana can find a way to go up there and get a victory, this could be a really big week as far as momentum goes and as far as building for the rest of this month and then, of course, the full Big Ten season beginning in January.
I mean, I think it'd be really huge because, you know, we're going up there with still a pretty young team. And so if we're going to win up in Wisconsin, that means Trace probably has a good game. You know, and Armand probably plays well, and some of these other guys that are going to be playing, you know, on in this road venue for the first time, that means they probably play well. And even more important than that, I think it would say a lot about our leadership. You know, guys like Al and Justin and Devontae, they're going to have to play well and lead for Indiana to go up there and win. And so, you know, I think it would show a lot about the maturity of this team if after their first big win of the year, everybody's been telling them how great they are now for a few days, if they're able to hunker down, you know, have the humility, have the focus to go up there and get done what they need to do, it would say a lot. And I think the most important thing is, you know, from Archie's perspective, you know, he's been harping, or he did all November about how, you know, this team wasn't playing good enough defense and it had to improve. And so I think as a coach, you know, when your players, when they put that into effect on the floor and they have success doing what you've been telling them to do, now there's more belief. Now there's more buy-in. It's like, hey, all right, you know, coach is right. We really dig in on defense, you know, get to the line, rebound, do all these things he's asking us to do. We're not just going to dominate bad opponents. We can beat good teams. And now I think your collective sense of belief really starts to go up. So, you know, I don't want to oversell it. It's just one game and it's in December. But I do think, you know, the Florida State game was an important stepping stone game. And, you know, but it happened at home. Now if you can go and do that on the road, I think that's really something that could help build some lasting confidence and even camaraderie for, you know, for a young team that's still growing together. So it doesn't mean that stuff won't happen if you go up there and lose, and, you know, Indiana may well lose on Saturday, but I think a lot could really be gained, you know, that could be lasting if they're able to go up and get this win.
Jared, especially when you turn around very quickly from a Saturday game in Madison, Wisconsin to a Tuesday game in NYC at Madison Square Garden against Connecticut. That is quite a turnaround, involves a lot of travel for this team, and especially a team that had been at home for its first seven games of the year.
Yeah, and that's why this is a real tricky, you know, set of games here for Indiana. So it would be really nice to get a win on Saturday, get one in your back pocket, because I think, look, you know, neither Wisconsin nor UConn is a great team, but just the venue, the travel, some of those things. I think if you can get one out of two of these games, you'd feel pretty good. You know, neither loss would be disastrous for Indiana, but obviously they're going to have to get some wins away from home. So you'd feel great if you can get both of them, and this team is certainly capable of doing that. But I think, you know, you've got to get at least one of them. So, hey, you know, let's break the streak, put one in our back pocket, and then, you know, play with a little bit of house money in New York on Tuesday night.
Just an early glance or any early thoughts on UConn, Indiana's opponent there at the Jimmy V Classic?
I don't really know much about them. I haven't looked that far ahead. You know, I've been focused on this Wisconsin game. So I think, you know, from what I know about them generally, they're an okay team. But, you know, they're a team that if, you know, if Indiana plays well and Connecticut plays well, Indiana should beat them. You know, I think, again, the question there is, you know, you're on the road, you've had all this travel, are you fatigued, are you focused, is this team ready, you know, to play in that type of venue? Who knows? You know, that'll be fun to see. I would certainly feel better about it if Rob plays, but, you know, we don't know when he'll be back. So, you know, we'll just have to see. I think, you know, we'll know a little bit more about how ready this team will be, you know, to play in New York by how they play in Madison on Saturday.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Final question, Jared, before we let you go and wrap things up today. Obviously, for Indiana, some big games coming up this month, and we've talked lots and lots about it, that once Indiana got through its seven games in November, that December, you know, very, very early, right out of the gate, would give fans and everyone the chance to find out, we thought, what this Indiana team was made of and what maybe the ceiling of this team could be. As you look at the rest of the month, including Wisconsin, which we've talked about, and, of course, including UConn on Tuesday in New York, which we've briefly talked about, then you get back into Big Ten play with Nebraska, followed by Notre Dame, followed by Arkansas, and then that wraps things up before Big Ten play comes the rest of the way from January 4th on with the Maryland game. What's a win mark this month? What's a goal this month for this team in your eyes that says Indiana basketball is for real, and Indiana basketball may very well be an NCAA tournament team if they can accomplish this in the month of December?
I think you've got to win at least two of the games away from home to feel good. You've got the true road game at Wisconsin. You've got the two neutral court games, Notre Dame and Connecticut. Now, you know, the Arkansas game is a home game, and they're really good. I mean, they're a fantastic defensive team. So that is, you know, by no means going to be an easy game, but you're at home. And I think, you know, based on what we saw against Florida State and based on just what we should expect, you know, we need to be a team that takes care of business at home. But as we know, you know, home wins in college basketball, you know, they're kind of assumed. You don't necessarily get a lot of extra credit for those. And so I think what, you know, the committees and even, you know, what things like the net rankings and stuff are going to look at is, you know, do you win away from home? And that's always been a question for Indiana. And so I think being able to go get a couple of these wins away from home, especially since none of these teams are giants. I mean, they're all teams right now that are ranked, you know, somewhere between, you know, 55 and 65 in KenPom. These are teams Indiana should be able to beat, you know, regardless of the venue. And so, you know, this team is not yet ready to be perfect and where you can say, hey, we're going to go win all of these. So I think I would feel really good. Obviously, if they can win all of them, I'd feel great. But I would feel good and comfortable if they can win at least two of the ones away from home. At the bare minimum, they've got to get at least one of them, you know, at the bare minimum. But I'd feel good, and I think it's a perfectly reasonable expectation to think that they can get two of them.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, host of the IU postgame show, which is right here on the Big X after Don Fisher and the IU Network wrap up. Jared, thanks. Enjoy the Wisconsin game. Let's see what these Hoosiers can do on the road at a very unfriendly environment over the years in the Kohl Center. And we'll regroup again with you next Friday.
Yep. Hey, the streak has to end sometime, so why not this year?
Absolutely. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Thanks so much for being with us. What a fun week. Indiana really opening up some big games here. They are fun to watch, fun to talk about, fun to recap, and we're able to get so many great guests to join us to recap these things. And, of course, when Indiana wins, it doesn't hurt either. Obviously, a lot of excitement from the fan base right now with Indiana victorious over Florida State earlier this week. Now we have to see what this Indiana team can do against Wisconsin. Obviously, not the friendliest of places to play for the Hoosiers, but this Wisconsin team is having its fair amount of struggles as they sit 4-4 on the season heading into the game on Saturday. Tip-off in that game is 4:30 on Saturday. That means the pregame show with Don Fisher and crew will begin at 3:30, starting lineups, get an interview with Archie Miller in that pregame show, and, of course, listen to the legendary voice of the Hoosiers, Don Fisher, call the game here on the Big X. If you're going to be out and about doing Christmas shopping, we've got you covered with Indiana basketball all the time here on the Hoosier Report and the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget tonight, Lee Kelly and I are in Floyd's Knobs. We've got Floyd Central as they look to move to 4-0 on the season. They're going to take on, a solid Castle team tonight. The tip-off of that game is 8 o'clock. We'll be on the air from Floyd's Knobs at about 7:30. And if you didn't catch the Southern Indiana tip-off show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling, it airs again tonight. It's always going to air sometime Thursday and then Friday heading into our high school coverage. So tonight on this Friday, it will air from 6:30 to 7:30. In that show, you'll hear from Coach Sturgeon of Floyd Central. You'll also hear from Jeffersonville Coach Chris Moore about his team's opening win last week in Ohio. And, of course, a big one coming up for the Red Devils on Saturday night as they host Lawrence North. And Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, he joins us in the tip-off show as well. Again, that show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. Great way for us to connect with you, preview the big games heading into each weekend on Thursdays and Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. Going to be a lot of fun to do that show and add it to our growing list of local programming here for you in Southern Indiana. That'll wrap the show up today. Have a great weekend. IU Saturday, high school basketball tonight. I'm back with you Monday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.